Salvation Army for 25 years. I told them, well, forget about it. Put somebody younger on. You attend the meetings and, I mean, it's not fair.
Somebody that has more time, you know,
available. I have time, right? Maybe more time than most people, but I haven't got the strength. I'm going to stay around for 4 o'clock meetings. Children's Hospital, I've resigned from there this year because it's, from here out, it's going to be operated really by the university.
That doesn't interest you at all?
Not at all.
Why?
Well, I'm not going to go anywhere.
Okay, fine.
That's just an old man's
prerogative. Absolutely.
And plus the fact that I feel the same way with any of these kids. I mean, I was on the Montefiore Hospital Board for 20 years, 25 years. That's long enough. They need new blood. That's what young people are for.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no question about that. These old guys that want to stay on boards because they want their name on it, that doesn't interest me at all. I was more interested in making sure they kept the name on the store.
Yeah.
Then they have my name on some board, so what? Anybody that comes on the board now and they see your name on it, they say, who is he?
Jules Labarth, who
ran this, and I mean, what was the purpose of it? Was testing of merchandise and validating, putting a stamp on it. It was tested and approved by the Mellon Institute. It was a selling gimmick, but legitimate, and it got carried on for maybe a year or two after Irwin died. It cost $40,000 a year to have merchandise evaluated and approved.
Do you remember any other great innovations in merchandising that you think are of interest or
what? The store always had firsts of everything. Chick-fil-A, 1929, the store was beginning to be rebuilt internally. That's when the first floor was inaugurated in 1920. It was June of 1929. And it was done by a man by the name of Irwin. Great theatrical architect. First floor was the big talking point, black marble, black glass, ceiling lighting was put in at that time. Remember that these big murals that were painted by Gordon Robinson hanging on the wall. They're not there anymore. All these things are not good anymore.
What happened to them?
They're rolled up in the warehouse.
They are?
On the north side. It's an unbelievable thing. It's a different era, it's different times. But that was the beginning of it, and then from that year on, each year another floor was redone.
During the Depression, it continued.
Yeah. It's cheaper to do it during the Depression.
Well, you had to have money to do it during the Depression.
Well, there was only one year of the business never had money.
That was, why then?
It was the end of the war year period, and was merchandise was very much inflated. We had money, that's not the truth.
Yeah.
We didn't make any money. We had enormous stock for the time. We were a small business, maybe $20-22 million business. We had too much merchandise. So the decision of Mr. Mundheim, Isaac Felton, Morris Felton, they hear this. They didn't ask me at that time, but I was there. And they decided to take a bath in 1922 and start over again.
And just kind of get rid of everything?
Well, not everything, but everything that they wanted to get rid of, and overpriced, and poor style, and warriors, and everybody kind of slap happy. This was after the First World War. And it was only a year that they were, I was looking at the records the other day, I had to do some. It had a red figure at the bottom of the page.
That's a wonderful record.
Actually, it had money in the bank, but didn't make it. But that was only a year, and then, you mean during the war, during the Depression years in the 30s? It was a difficult time. We had laid off a lot of people, cut down a lot of things. We didn't spend as much money as we did in 29, 27, 28, 29 were very, the 20s were very lush years.
That was Prohibition.
Prohibition years came in 28. I don't think it had anything to do with Prohibition.
Did that affect you a lot, do you think? When you remember the Prohibition? The
sure,
fun time?
Sure, I remember. We used to buy a bootleg bib with whiskey. And sometimes we bought good whiskey. Lived through it.
It was a fun time then, wasn't it?
We lived through it.
Yeah.
Never came home with a bottle.
Yeah. Never?
I always finish the prayer.
Have you wasted effort?
How are the relationships through the years with the employees? Were they always good, happy kind of relationships?
I'd say, generally speaking, that we have good relations with our employees because we were always very close with them. We were on the floor, we worked with them. It's not through a second or third person. And,
as opposed to business practices
today? Today. And even today, and even after a certain length of time, and I'd say after the Second World War, mm-hmm. things started to become less personal.
Is that because the store got so big?
It got bigger, and there's a new generation coming in. From the time I went into the business in 1960 until I got out in 56, a whole new two or three generations in there.
Mm-hmm.
People don't. Very few people last as long as that. Put it that way. And today, you know, you walk out, I walk in the store, you don't know anybody.
Getting familiar faces.
Yeah. There aren't there.
Very few.
Yeah. Even in your time.
I remember some.
Some of them. Good ones. These are the younger ones.
Sure.
I hope.
Can you comment a little bit about how the differences in how you were raised and how you raised your children?
Well, the only thing I can say of how we were raised in our house.
Mm-hmm.
Was it very strict? I guess under today's standards, you would say it was very strict. Under the standards of the period, it was more respect than being strict. First of all, it was very difficult to come home after 11 o'clock at night. The streetcars didn't run after 11. To stay in town on Saturday night after work. We'd get the 10 o'clock streetcar out to Squirrel Hill, and that was it. Either that or what?
Mm-hmm.
It was too far to walk. And we all didn't have cars in those days, individually. My father had a car. But he never drove to town. He never drove with me. He used to always come in the streetcar.
To business on a streetcar.
Oh, sure. I remember. He always got up at 6:30 and I got up at 6:30 too. Regardless of when I got home. It was a story at 8 o'clock. It was after 4:30.
Did you raise your children the same kind of way, do you think?
It was
strict?
Yes, my wife was very strict, very exacting. They're more difficult because the children of the same age weren't raised that way either.
Mm-hmm.
That's very difficult when you have children that are going to school and everybody else does something different. And my oldest daughter, who's 54 now, she had socks on. And all the girls wore stockings. You know, when she was 7 or 8 years old. It's a terrible thing.
Sure.
Very unfair mother. You better pair of long stockings than a couple of boomsticks you have. Sure, that's a whole different period. There's no difference in it. It's a difference between then and now because the times are different, the situations are different. And children are all into dancing classes and recording a tape. Hated it.
For what?
For what?
difficult to raise children today, wasn't it?
It's more difficult.
Yeah.
Well, I think it is, yeah.
Tell us a little bit about, you know,
but it's more difficult to feed them today.
Sure.
I mean, you know, there's never a question in our house, what do you want to eat? Never a question. You didn't eat it for dinner, you got it for breakfast. I mean, my mother never said that. That's what happened.
You knew that.
I mean, you shouldn't have to say that.
I think it has a lot to be said for it. It wasn't as progressive a society as we have today.
Right. I agree with you, but I mean, the long span between then and now, you know, I mean, we have my youngest daughter still has a young little one.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about all your grandchildren.
Oh, they're all dear and lovely and sweet, sweethearts. Is that all you want to know?
How many grandchildren do you have?
I have 8 and 1 great-grandchild.
Mm-hmm. It's
interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting, yeah. They all seem to survive. Some fashion or other, I don't know. But I'm not doing anything different than most other families' children are doing, let's put it that way.
Can you give us your impressions of how Pittsburgh has changed socially in the years that you've been here?
I think the Jewish community is today a more broadly accepted community, not citywide, I'm talking about, I mean, with one another.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in the early days, there was no question about it. There was a German Jewish community, Polish Jewish community.
Mm-hmm.
They lived together, they stayed together, had their own clubs.
Within their own groups, you mean? The mm-hmm. German Jewish community stayed together and the Polish Jewish community stayed together?
Yeah. They still do it to a certain degree, but it's their children that are intermarried and become assimilated. I guess there was a great deal of snobbery in those days. There still is.
Mm-hmm.
There still is, mm-hmm. A little bit of a different type.
How about your impressions of our Jewish community now and its place in the general community of Pittsburgh? I mean, you've been involved with it for a long time. I'm sure you've seen a lot of change in it.
There have been a lot of changes, and I think the Jewish community today, the little I know, but I'm not really a proper person to answer a question that comes because I'm not actively engaged with the
Very
Jewish
often
community.
People that are not that actively engaged look at it a lot more objectively than people who are in the midst of it.
I would I would say that I think today the Jewish community in Pittsburgh is accepted generally to a much higher degree than it's ever been.
By the non-Jewish?
By the
general community.
The general community, yeah. Which includes actually non-Jewish. And I think it has to do with education and occupation. There's a great deal of war. It's not enough, but a great deal more assimilation between big corporations and hiring Jewish executives. hired Jewish personnel at all times to do the hard work. It's very rare that they raise to executive ranks, but today they really are. Maybe not enough, but I mean, the time has changed. You might remember the time. And I must say this to you, not to be snobbish about it, but we weren't affected as much. At least it seems when my father and his brothers came to Pittsburgh, everybody else was an immigrant. Mr. Carnegie was, Mr. Frick was, mm-hmm. all of the other big wigs. Even Mr. Mellon was not an immigrant, but he was a small businessman, a small banker. Mm-hmm. They were all that generation, and they all grew up together into bigger men.
All together.
I can't say that I know of any time when the family's ever been excluded because they were Jews. But they weren't hardened Jews. I mean, this was not a situation that's come about like the Israeli situation. Mm-hmm. You must make Jews much more hardened and vocal and more other things that I don't want to mention.